the Lord should be pleased to help me, I shall call your attention to a subject you will find in the book of Jonah, chapter 2, and the 4th verse. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Chapter 2, the book of Jonah, and the 4th verse. This is a word which stands in a solemn connection with the dealings of God with Jonah long ago. Sinners who are taught of God, sooner or later, as they journey on through life, are very glad to find the book of Jonah is recorded in the Holy Bible, Book Divine. And in reading it, whilst it brings before us an historical record of the dealings of God with Jonah, the Word of God says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort in the Scriptures might have hope. And now it is evident that Jonah was a godly man. And it is evident also that he was a prophet, ordained of God to do a specific work. And yet, the book of Jonah tells us about Jonah's behavior, his solemn departures from God, and the backsliding state that he was in, and how God dealt with him to restore unto Jonah his interest in the things of God. And in this word before us, you find that Jonah is evidencing faith, and faith of a very wonderful stamp too. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. This was not faith the Savior refers to as being faith as a grain of mustard seed, but it was wonderful faith, deep down faith, something like that faith that Job refers to when he said, though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. And now I want for a little while, as the Lord shall help me, to look at this subject from three viewpoints. And I should like to be helped to say something that would be encouraging, instructive, and helpful to you. Although, if I am helped to say what is on my mind to say about this word before us, it may not be applicable to only a few of you. It may be only a few of you feel this Sabbath morn that you are a brother or sister to Jonah, and that you have been in a backsliding state, and that you are reaping the consequences of your departures from God. And now you are like Jonah. You are not in a fish's belly, but you are in the equivalent of it. And remember what Jonah said: out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. It may be some of you are feelingly afar off from God, and you are saying, zeal extinguished to a spark, life is very low, all my evidence is dark, and good works I've none to show. And it will be a mercy if you should be brought to this conclusion that Jonah was brought to: I will look again toward thy holy temple. And remember, you have the privilege to do so, and you are welcome to go just as you are. And the word of God says, only acknowledge thine iniquity, and you will prove the vilest sinner out of hell who lives to feel his need. He's welcome to the throne of grace, the Savior's blood to plead. And now, first of all, I want to look a little at Jonah's case, because there is much in it that is very instructive, and some of it is typical, and to lead our thoughts to great truths set forth in the Word of God. Sometimes as you read the book of Jonah through, you may conclude that Jonah was very blamable in his behavior, and he was, and he had to acknowledge it. He had to come in guilty before God. But I do want you to remember, whenever you read the book of Jonah, who it was that wrote it. Who do you think wrote it? It is said, Jonah. The book of Jonah was written by Jonah. And it could not have been written by anyone else. And the Spirit of God inspired Jonah to put down in black and white the truth about his backsliding, the dealings of God with him therein, but above all, how he prayed unto the Lord his God, when out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth was speaking. And now, looking at Jonah's case, not to take up too much time, but there is much in it that is instructive. And there are many things that when Jonah was inspired by the Spirit of God to pen this book of his, there are many things that Jonah could have put in that he left out. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord. And now, the background to this is that Jonah was an Israelite indeed. And maybe he had a conception that his commission in his prophetic work was to do with Israel only. And when the word of the Lord came, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it," Jonah had his own thoughts about it. "I will go wherever I can and preach to Israelites. I have no desire at all to go to preach to Ninevites, Israel's inveterate foes. No. No." And now there was a lesson that Jonah had to learn. The word of God says, "I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy." And Jonah did not seem to have any understanding that there could be salvation wrought for those who did not belong to Israel as a nation. And so, he did not want to fulfill this engagement to preach, though God had made it on his behalf. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah, "Arise, go to Nineveh." And Jonah said, "No, I'm not going to Nineveh to preach. No, I'll go anywhere in Israel to preach, not to Nineveh." And so he fled from the presence of the Lord, and as I read to you, and you were all aware, he found a ship. Everything seemed to fit in with what Jonah felt. He found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And yet the Lord was looking on all the while. The Lord was cognizant of all that was passing in Jonah's mind. His eye was upon his backsliding, his departures, his disobedience. And then, when the tempest arose in the sea and the ship was like to be broken, Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. And now that shows us, at the time, what his state of mind really was. As he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, he was in a callous, earthbound state. There was no exercise unto godliness whatever, nor tenderness of conscience, but he was determined not to go to Nineveh. And there he was, in the sides of the ship, fast asleep, and yet it was he on whose behalf the tempest was raging. And now that is a very solemn consideration, that when a poor sinner comes to be in a backsliding state and is disobedient to some heavenly vision which the Lord has given, and then God begins to deal with that sinner by terrible things in righteousness, and at the beginning of the dealings of God, the sinner is something like Jonah when he was in the sides of the ship and fast asleep. As it were, for the time, unaware of the dealings of God, and not concerned to know the why and wherefore thereof. But God designed that Jonah should know the why and wherefore. And so at length it comes that the mariners cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. God overruled it to be like that. Not that it means you are to think you can cast lots and have Scripture on your side to do it. There is a much better way to find out the will of God and what is the good and right way wherein you should go than to cast lots. And you must remember that these mariners were not those who were taught of God, and they only did what was customary for them to do in such times. And yet the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. And the lot fell upon Jonah, and they put him to a searching test, ask him questions, and he was now beginning to awake, and he tells the truth. He hears the winds roaring, he sees the waves rising, and he knows the great tempest is upon them, and he knows that it is because he is there, fleeing from the presence of the Lord. And now he tells the truth. I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Thinking on this subject, it seemed to impress me, what must Jonah have felt like when these men, who were heathens, when they said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. You have told us, I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Why hast thou done this, that you have turned your back upon him? Although you say to us that you fear him, and that he is the God of heaven, and he has this power, and he hath made the sea and the dry land, why hast thou done this? Is it because you have found your God, whom you worship, to be a hard God, and you do not want to serve him any longer, and now you are fleeing from his presence? Have you any complaints to make about how your God has behaved toward you hitherto, that you have turned your back upon him at this time? Why hast thou done this? And you know, dear friends, bringing it down to bedrock truth, when a sinner taught of God comes to be in a sad backsliding state and is at a great distance from God, even at the ends of the earth, when that truth is made plain, your sins and your iniquities have separated between you and your God. If this question should be put by God to such an one, why hast thou done this? Have I been a wilderness to you? Can you find fault with my dealings with you along life's way hitherto? Which of my promises have I not failed to fulfill toward you when you have pleaded that promise before my throne of grace? why hast thou done this? You might think on that question. Is this thy kindness to thy friend? And here you see, Jonah was wrought on by the Spirit of God, and he was enabled to humble himself before God, and he told these mariners what was to be done. Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. I've sometimes wondered what really was wrought in the breast of these mariners, because they show a nobility of spirit in their behavior toward Jonah. And it says the men rowed hard to bring the ship to land, but they could not. And then they cried unto the Lord, even the Lord, the God of heaven, that Jonah declared was the Lord his God. And did you notice, as I read it, one especial thing which they said in their petition? We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. But there you get the bedrock truth. God was dealing with Jonah in all this. And so the upshot of it all is they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from a raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. One would like to hope that they were wrought on by the Spirit of God, and that as long as they lived, they never forgot that experience, and that they profited by it and got a blessing for time and eternity as the outcome of it. Underneath it all, the purposes of God were being fulfilled. The Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Mark the word in, a great fish. You dear young people in your school life, you may sometimes hear criticism about the book of Jonah. You will be told it was an impossibility for a whale to swallow a man like Jonah was. But I would like you to remember, the Word of God does not say anywhere that it was a whale, just as you and I understand a whale to be. The Savior said, as Jonah was in the whale's belly, but in the original, it is just the same as it is in this word before us, a prepared fish. And this word is, the Lord had prepared a great preserver to swallow up Jonah. Remember that. It will help you to believe what the Word of God says, and that it is indeed inspired of God. The Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And there he was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. And now I said there was something typical in this. And now the Savior said long afterwards, for as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. One thing, not to be too tedious in working out these details, one thing I want you to observe, and I want to make that plain. And now, when Jesus Christ chose his disciples and sent them to preach, at the first, his commission to them was, go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But when Jesus Christ had done his work and he had risen from the dead, then he recommissioned his disciples and he sent them out to preach, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Not to the house of Israel only, but now the middle wall of partition is broken down, and the Jews and Gentiles are made both one in Christ Jesus. And go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, irrespective of nationality. And now, here is Jonah. He has learned his solemn lesson. He has been sheltered in the fish's belly 3 days and three nights. And then he is delivered, brought back again on the earth. And he tells us what his exercises were. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. But this is the thing I want you to observe. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. And now, in a sense, Jonah had also risen from the dead. And now, it was after Jesus Christ rose from the dead that the word of the Lord was sent in its fullness to the Gentiles. And here you get that in a type, as Jonah rose, in the equivalent of it, from the dead after being in the fish's belly 3 days and three nights. And now he goes forth willingly and with understanding to preach the preaching God bade him to preach, and he went with willing feet to preach to the Ninevites. I want you to weigh these things up, for there is in it that which is very instructive. And now that is just an outline of Jonah's case. And now let us look a little here at Jonah's conclusion. And he said, I am cast out of thy sight. Do you think that is possible? It was what Jonah thought, and it was no doubt what he felt, but it was not the truth of the matter. Where do you think any sinner could be out of the sight of God, with whom each one has to do? The thing is impossible. But Jonah felt, when he was in the fish's belly, that he was in the belly of hell. And he says, out of the belly of hell cried I. And the margin is the grave. And thou heardest my voice. And now, follow this along. in the preceding chapter, Jonah said, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. And now Jonah says unto the Lord his God, for thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. And he says, in describing his case, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption. O Lord, my God. What a wonderful mercy that was that reached Jonah where he was, even as he felt to be in the belly of hell, in his soul's experience. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. And now you find in the word of God that Jonah was not the only one taught of God who had such feelings. Even Jeremiah says something equivalent to it. God had said to Jeremiah, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Long afterwards, Jeremiah said, waters flowed over my head, and then I said, I am cut off. My hope is perished from the Lord. Which is to say, as to any happiness or comfort or peace I feel in the possession of it, my hope is perished from the Lord. You remember Asaph, and he said, is his mercy clean gone forever? Will he be favorable no more? But then God led him into the truth, and he said, this is my infirmity. I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Yes. And you remember too David, when he said, cast me not away from thy presence, take not thy Holy Spirit from me, leave not my soul destitute, margin, make not my soul bare. I simply name these cases because I want any of you who feel something like Jonah in your soul's experience to realize there are other people taught of God who have been in a like case before you. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. And yet that was an absolute impossibility. And what a word that is, so often quoted, and him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. I will never, no, never, no, never cast out. No sinner was ever yet empty sent back who came seeking mercy for Jesus' sake. Do any of you feel to be a brother or sister to Jonah this Sabbath morn? Think of Jonah's case. Think of his great guiltiness. How his conscience must have been loaded with it. Think of his misery, his wretchedness, is helplessness. Yes. And think of his utter inability to better his case. First of all, actually in the belly of the fish, and in his soul's feelings, in the belly of hell. Conscious, if my soul is sent to hell, thy righteous law approves it well. Let us look at this conclusion that Jonah came to. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. You must mark the word again. Jonah, in the dealings of God with him in his earlier life, had known what it was to look again to the mercy seat, for that is what is referred to by thy holy temple. I will look again toward thy holy temple. Strictly speaking, it means God in Christ, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. You remember it says in one place where Jesus spake of the temple of his body, and the God shines gracious through the man. There is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Thus it is, and thus alone, that God is approachable. I will look again toward thy holy temple. And now, this look, it must be a believing look, a look of faith. And I have told you sometimes, and it will be well for you to think on it again, how you observe in the Gospels, as you read the records there of the poor sinners whom Jesus Christ was pleased to work upon and do them good, how many of them, as they came with their incurable cases, and they were all incurable cases as far as man was concerned, how they all approached unto Jesus and acknowledged him to be verily God, verily man. You think of blind Bartimaeus when he was by the wayside begging, and they told him, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. He found his inner eyes, the eyes of his understanding, were open, and he could see who Jesus was. And he says, Jesus, thou son of David, great David's greater son, have mercy on me. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Lord, that I might receive my sight. Lord. It was a believing look. And he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of all them that diligently seek him. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. Yes, it must be a believing look. And what a wonderful look that was, the dying thief was enabled to give, when in life's latest hours he was wrought on by the Spirit of God, and he prayed that wondrous petition, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Oh, there you see sovereign grace or sin abounding. For it says that both thieves, when at first they were hung upon the crosses, railed upon him. But the Spirit of God wrought in the one thief, and he was indeed led into the truth. He was given a glimpse of Jesus Christ as to who he was. He was shown the nature of the kingdom of God. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You will remember too the woman of Canaan, and it says, then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. There you see that believing look. The living faith centering in Jesus Christ as verily God, verily man. So it was with Jonah. I will look again toward thy holy temple. And he says, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And now that is the first thing that is the evidence of one in a backsliding state beginning to awake to where he is and what he is. I remembered the Lord. The Word of God tells us about the prodigal that he came to himself, and then he began to be in want. And then he remembered. He pondered in his heart. And he said, in my father's house there is bread enough and to spare. I will arise and go unto my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And oh, what a welcome did that returning prodigal receive. While he was yet a long way off, his father saw him and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him, and he had compassion on him. And God is just like that, dear friends. A God ready to pardon. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, it is a mercy when you can say, I remembered the Lord, and to remember that he is gracious, merciful, a God ready to pardon. For thou, Lord, art ready to forgive. Yes, Jesus' blood through earth and skies, mercy eternal, mercy Christ. Much might be said along that line of thought. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. It must be, I say, a believing look. Not only so, it will be a sorrowful look, a repentant look. You remember, godly David said, I will be sorry for my sins. Oh, that is a good place to be in. I should like to feel that many of you would like to join with David and be found in that attitude before God. Godly sorrow for sin, repentance that needeth not to be repented of, is very precious in our soul's experience. When you can put your mouth in the dust of self-abasement, if so be there may be hope. When you feel no sinner needed mercy more that ever sought thy face. When you do what you read about in the book of Zechariah, they shall look upon him whom they have pierced and shall mourn because of him. When you say, return, O holy dove, return, sweet messenger of rest, I hate the sins that made me mourn and drove thee from my breast. I will look again toward thy holy temple. And now, it will be a prayerful look, not always with just words, because it says here, I will look. Prayer is the upward glancing of the eye. When none but God is near, it is good when out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh, when you can find words to unbosom and unload your sorrows, your confessions at Jesus' feet. There is in it a sweet, blessed relief. But do remember, does thy heart for Jesus pine and make its secret moan? He understands the sigh divine. He marks the hidden groan. These pinings prove that Christ is near to testify his grace. Call on him with unceasing prayer. He will show his face. Yes, I will look again. It must be, I say, a believing look, a sorrowful look, a repentant look, a prayerful look. Aye, and it will be a hopeful look too. Something will say, though by my sins deserving hell, I'll not despair, for who can tell? It will be a hopeful look. And you will be glad to find in the Word of God such records as you read in the book of Jonah, and how such an one as Jonah was brought back to God and obtained mercy. And it will help you to take courage to wait on the Lord. If so be, you may find mercy too. And you will be saying, see a poor sinner, dearest Lord, whose soul encouraged by thy word at mercy's footstool would remain, and there would look and look again. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. And now, what was the lesson that Jonah learned in this amazing experience that helped him as long as he lived to preach the preaching that God bade him to preach wherever God ordained he should go, even if it was to go to Nineveh? The lesson that Jonah learned was this: salvation is of the Lord. Irrespective of any nationality, as I have already quoted, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. Salvation is of the Lord. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Any of you who feel in such a case as Jonah was found in, who feel to be afar off from God and are solemnly concerned that matters should be made right between your soul and God, here is the word of the Lord to you. Look again, and look and look again. Approach my soul, the mercy seat, where Jesus answers prayer and humbly lieth his dear feet, for none can perish there. Amen. Of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, the communion of the Holy Spirit be upon us and all who love the truth everywhere. Amen and amen.